Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Teach us tonight how to restore a believer who has wandered from the truth. Teach us, Father, tonight the importance of the ministry of restoration. We pray, Lord, that you might work in each life. Pray, Lord, your word may go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit and rest on receptive hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the book, or the end of the book of James, and really James has dealt with what it means to be a genuine Christian, what it means to really love God, what it means to really serve God, and how to know whether we are genuinely, how we have genuinely have a relationship with God. In the book of 1 John, it gives some 15, 16 tests that you can go through and kind of ask yourself to make sure that your life and your relationship with God is real. James deals more in a general way and talks about our fruit and what that fruit shows. In fact, as we go through the book of James, we can ask a whole bunch of questions. Let me throw a few out. How do you respond to trials? You know, do you persevere or do you quit? How do you respond to temptation? Do you reject it or do you give in? How do you respond to God's word? Are you receptive or do you have a closed heart? How do you treat the poor? Is your faith that it's professed real and is it shown by your actions? What are the characteristics of your speech? You know, this tongue that we have, our mouth is a very powerful thing. And what does it show about our life? Do we have the kind of wisdom that is seen from God that is heavenly? Do you stand opposed to the way this present world lives and live for God? Are you proud or humble? How do you handle money? In James chapter 5, the beginning of the chapter, talks about what we do with our money. How do we handle trouble? Do we grow through it or do we give in to it? And do you believe in the power of prayer? So James talks about all these issues. We've looked at all them. And now as we get to the last two verses in this book, he talks about those who've left the church, those who have wandered away. And what do we do? What do you do when you have someone who has professed Jesus Christ, but you know they wander away from God, they wander away from church, they wander away from living for God? One person put it this way. It's always an anxious moment, especially for families and friends, when someone is reported missing in the wilderness. Search and rescue teams spring into action. We wait expectantly for any word locating the person. It is a moment of great joy if the person is found alive and well, but a time of great sorrow when it's too late. If you are a Christian, then you're a member of God's search and rescue team. So I want you to notice three things in these two verses tonight. First of all, be aware of the danger of wandering from the truth. It's a very real danger that Christians can wander away from the truth of God's word. Notice verse 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, phrase expresses the danger and the possibility that a Christian can walk away from the truth. Not talking about losing your salvation. If you have truly come to Christ for salvation, you can't lose that. But it is possible with all the false teachers, all the groups that are out there, that a Christian can kind of get mixed up in the head and follow deceptive teaching, at least for a time. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The word wander here means to be deceived, to go astray, to make a mistake in evaluation and be led in the wrong direction, to be deluded, to abandon the truth and leave and walk away from that truth. We'll look in a minute, but Jesus talked about that of a sheep becoming lost. James 1:16 uses this very phrase of the warning of not giving in to temptation. and not blaming God for our sin. So notice he talks about wandering away from the truth. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul is getting ready to leave Ephesus. He gathers all the pastors together and he kind of gives them a farewell speech. They're on the shore. Paul's talking to all these pastors. And I want you to know, notice in verse 27, he says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." In other words, all of God's truth. Speaking to pastors, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or pastors. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." So Paul is saying, look, there are going to be wolves, false teachers. They are going to come from outside the church and they will arise from inside the church. In other words, from the church's own membership, people will arise and they will distort the truth. Distort the word of God. And their goal, notice verse 30, is to draw people out of the church, to pull people away from membership, to get them to foul, to get them to leave the church, and to follow deceptive teaching. So Paul is telling the pastors, look, be on your guard. Pastors need to make sure that they teach the truth, make sure that they warn people of that which stands opposed to the truth, make sure that they preach and teach and help people understand the truth so that when this happens, people will not wander away from the truth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This idea is all through the Word of God, all through the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 3. "But I am afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think that I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way." Paul's talking about the, quote, super apostles. Peter was one of them that people talked about as a super apostle. He says, look, I may not be a good speaker. I may not be a trained speaker, but I know God's truth. And he says, look, you need to be careful that you're not led away, deceived, so that you wander away from the truth. This is talked about in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 3. As I mentioned, it's all through the New Testament. You know, we are living in a day where people no longer believe there is such a thing as truth. We're living in a postmodern age where people do not believe there is absolute truth. That you may believe what you believe, and I may believe what I believe, and someone else may believe what they believe. And even though we all stand in opposing thinking, that's okay because there really is no absolute truth. But James clearly is talking about an absolute truth and the fact that some can wander away from it. Listen to what this person has wrote. "Our postmodern culture rejects the idea of absolute truth, especially in the spiritual realm. What is true for you is fine for you, but it is not true for me unless I happen to like it. it would be judgmental and arrogant for me to say that you're wrong and I'm right. Rather, you can be right and I can be right even though we hold to opposite beliefs. Because spiritual truth is redefined as subjective experience or preference, not as objective reality. What is that noise? My battery just died. Jimmy, can you sneak over there and grab me the other battery? See it on the wall. See, it's plugged into the wall.
Yep, that's it. Is everybody else hearing that noise, or is it just me? All right.
All right, now it's gone. Now we're back to normal. All right, but the Bible asserts that there is absolute spiritual truth that saves the soul and absolute error that damns. Paul told the Galatians that if they believed in a different gospel than the one he had preached them, they would spend an eternity in hell. See, realize we're living in a day where everyone says there is no such thing as right and wrong. Everything's gray. But notice here in James, he says, my brothers, if you should wander away from the truth, it matters what you believe. It matters what you follow. And you can walk away from that which is right to that which is wrong. Some say that this passage is not talking about believers who've wandered from the truth, but it's talking about professed believers who may be in a church but really don't know Jesus Christ. And the reality is they've wandered from the truth because they never were part of the truth. They're not saved. They're not born again. Now, that is possible what James is saying here, but I don't think so. I think he's talking not about evangelism, but about restoration, about believers who, for a time, may be deceived, may be drawn in by that which is wrong. And that can so easily happen. You know, all you got to do is turn on the TV these days, and it seems like there's 100,000 preachers on. And they're teaching and preaching all kinds of things under the sun. You have to be really, really careful in our day and age. The problem today is not a lack of preaching, but a lack of truth. These verses here deal with the ministry of a fellow believer who has strayed from that truth. The Old Testament word for this is backsliding. And sad to say, this tragedy occurs in churches all the time, where people get drawn in, where people get overtaken, where they begin to believe that which is wrong, and they wander away from the truth. Let me tell you why I think he's talking about a believer who has wandered from the truth and not a non-believer. Notice in verse 19. He says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, he's talking about believers, he says, my brothers. And then he talks about bringing this person back in verse 19. You remember that Peter had to turn back to the Lord after he had walked away from him, when he had rejected Christ, when he told those around that he was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Those who have lost their way may be the very ones he talked about back in verse 14 when he said, is any one of you sick? Then he should call the elders, call the pastors over to pray with him. Restoration is the goal. Bringing a believer back from error is the goal. So I want you to notice the second thing here. We need to beware of apathy towards the wanderer. Beware of apathy towards the wanderer. If you've been in a church long enough, you know that there are those, it happens all the time, where people come into a church, they hang around for a while, and then they're gone. And we kind of sometimes get apathetic towards those kinds of people. We begin to think to ourselves, well, you know what? People come and go all the time. That's just part of church life. I think we need to be very careful. We need to beware of apathy when someone wanders from the truth. He says here that we need to go out. Notice someone should bring him back. Bring back has the idea of cost the change, to cost someone to turn around, to restore the brother from the error of his way, from going astray. The same word as the beginning of verse when it talks about the wanderer. So what do? Someone comes to church for a while, and then you don't see him anymore, and you begin to wonder what happens to them. You know, we have some options. What do you do with that person that, you know, they were involved in church, they were serving for a while, they seem to be following Christ, and then you just don't see him anymore? I think one option that we have and one option that people often take is the very thing I'm talking about right here. It's apathy. It's apathy. It's just not caring. We just begin to think about, well, it's just part of church life. People come and go, and who cares? We get apathetic. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Sometimes we get caught up in our own little world that it doesn't seem to bother us when people wander away from church, when people wander away from the truth. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Jesus speaking, it says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven are always see the face of my Father in heaven." What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Just look, you got a whole bunch of people coming to church, but all of a sudden doesn't show up, and they begin to wander from the truth. He says, look, the lost sheep, go look for them. Go find them. And when you cause that one to turn back, when you cause that one to come back, happier over that one than even the 99 that continued to follow the truth. Turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament, all the way back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 is speaking to the shepherds of the day, spiritual leaders of the day, and how they had become apathetic towards the needs of others and only began to look at their own needs. Notice Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? Yet you eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have strength. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, and on every high hill, they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." The idea here is the spiritual leaders and the Israelites, they began to wander away from God, and as they went out and wandered in the hills, no one searched for them. No one cared about them. The shepherds only cared about themselves. Notice verse 7, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for the flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I hold them accountable for my flock." So we see this very thing that James is talking about in James chapter 5 played out in the Old Testament. People wandered away from the truth, and the spiritual leaders of the day really were apathetic towards it. All they cared about was themselves. And that often happens today. You know, as I mentioned this morning, we get all caught up in our own lives. We get all caught up in our little, you know, personal things going on in our life that we don't look at the lives of other people who are in our church. Some of them wander away, and James says, look, go get them. Don't be apathetic. Go look for them. Yeah, I think another option that sometimes happens in churches is that when someone wanders away from the truth, we say, let them go. We condemn them. You know, I've heard it in churches over the years where someone has quit going to church, and you know, you get a group of people gathered together, and they say, ah, who cares? Good riddance. They were troublemakers anyway. Let them go. That's a horrible attitude. No matter what someone is like, no matter what someone has done, we should always be trying to pull people to Christ, always trying to get people to live the way they ought to live. And that would lead me to our third option. What James is talking about here is that we ought to seek to restore those who've wandered from the truth. We ought to seek to bring them back. Now, why you notice here in James, it is not just a ministry for pastors or church leaders. In verse 19, he's talking to everybody, to all believers, every church member, to everyone who's part of a church. He says to everyone, look, my brothers, if someone should wander from the truth, then someone should bring them back. He's taken for granted that the church has gone out and sought those who have wandered from the truth, and he's talking about the reality that they're simply bringing them back. I wonder, even in our church, maybe there's someone who hasn't come to church in a while. Have you called them? Have you reached out to them? Have you sought to restore them? This is a ministry of believers reaching out to other believers who have been deceived, who have wandered away from the truth, and they need to be brought back. So we see here that we need to be aware of the danger that we can wander from the truth. We need to beware of apathy towards those who have wandered away. Then I want you to notice, thirdly, I want us to be aware of the value of bringing the wanderer back. There is value in reaching out to those who've wandered from the truth and bringing them back. Verse 20, the New International Version says, remember this. We can literally say, know this. He's trying to get it into the believer's head. Here's something I want you to know. Here's something I want you to remember. If verse 19 is true, then here's two things that happen when you reach out to someone who has wandered away from the truth and you bring them back. Here's the value of doing that. Notice the first one. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death. If you turn someone who has wandered away from the truth, who has wandered away from where they should be, you will save them from death. Now, we have two possibilities here. As I said, I believe we're talking about a Christian who's wandered away from the truth. They have been deceived. So the death he's talking about here in that case would be physical death. You know, as a Christian, if we wander from the truth, if we begin to live a life that dishonors God, we begin to live a life that just makes a mockery of God, that God can physically kill us, He can take our life. Now, a lot has to happen for that to happen. But I think it is a warning to every believer that there's a possibility that God can physically take your life if you're not living the way God wants you to live. In fact, just turn back a few pages here to James chapter 1. Let me show you this right in the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your life is so far out there that you are, by your life, denying Jesus Christ, you've wandered away from the truth, you need to know God can take your life. Turn the other way in your Bible. Turn over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 16. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. So you see another Christian that commit a sin. It is a sin that does not lead to death. You need to pray for that person. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. But it is possible for a Christian that can commit a sin that leads to death. Now you might ask, what is the sin that leads to death, and how do I know I've committed that sin? The answer is pretty easy. If you commit the sin that leads to death, you're dead. God kills you. I personally believe that what he's talking about is when we begin as a Christian, begin to live a life that's unrepentant. It's not the particular sin that matters, but it is the reality that whatever sin is in our life, we become unrepentant of that sin, and we keep sinning and sinning and sinning. We can reach a point in God's grace where God says, look, that's enough. You're hurting my name. You're destroying my name. You're making a mockery of Christianity. Going to take your life. We see that happen in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30 where believers partaking of the Lord's Supper and they were doing so in a mocking fashion, so God takes their life. And they physically die. So if James chapter 5 is talking about a believer wandering from the truth, the physical death that is mentioned here, or the death that is mentioned here, is physical death. If he's talking about a non-believer here, then the death that he's mentioning here is eternal death. But as I stated, I believe he is talking about the believer. So you find someone wandering away from the truth. They're beginning to live in sin. They've turned away from God. You bring them back. Notice, you save him from death. And there's a second thing. You cover a multitude of sins. The word cover means to hide or to veil. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Psalm 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The word here for multitude is a word that simply means a largeness of number. In other words, a believer has wandered from the truth. They've turned away, gone their own way. They've begun to live in sin. And as they further wander from the truth, their sinfulness becomes greater, becomes so large, in fact, that they're near the point of God killing them. And when you bring them back, all that sin gets forgiven. All that sin gets covered in the forgiveness of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. Restoration is completed, and their sin is covered by love. So it should concern us when we watch believers turning from the truth. Not just pastors, not just deacons, not church leadership, but all of us needs to be looking around and watching other believers, not to condemn, not to gossip, But because we care for one another, we want one another to live according to God's word. We want to encourage one another. We want to help each other do what God wants us to do. And when we don't see a believer around, when we see someone begin to wander, then we need to be, get involved in this ministry of restoration. You know, if a person's gone for 6 to 8 weeks in a row, there's a very good chance we'll never see them again. In fact, according to statistics, 90% of those who leave a church, who've been involved in a church, will never go to any church again when they've wandered away from a church. 90%. Only 10% will end up in another church. And many will simply wander from church to church to church to church. You get some people who go to church and they think it's going to be the perfect church and they realize it's not and they begin to go from church to church looking for that perfect church. You know what? There is no such thing. And the end result is people begin to wander from the truth. So as James gets to the end of this book, he says, look, we need to be diligent, involved in each other's lives. We need to be diligent in helping people to live according to God's truth and make sure that we help each other to do what God wants us to do. And when one wanders, we need to all be involved in bringing them back to the truth of God's word. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that there is a place where we can go where we know that we're doing what you want us to do. We thank you, Father, that in our hand we hold absolute truth. And I pray, Lord, that no one who is here tonight might ever wander from your truth. And I pray, Lord, that everyone who's here tonight might be involved and might care and might love others so much that when we see someone else wander, that we're there to restore them, we're there to help them, and we're there to encourage each other to do what you want us to do. So, Father, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to do that which is right in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.